here in Burton once again to make the glad tidings, the joyful sound of the gospel known amongst you. This sleepy old town of yours, not much salvation to be found here, not much joy, not much of the grace of God in your town, Burton, in these days. So I come with the good news of the gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ, lifting him up before you, that you might hear, might hearken to God's word, listen, that is, and listening, hearing, believe, that you might be saved. Saved, that is, from God, because he is. His word says he's angry with the wicked every day. There's not only something, there's someone to be saved from. You need saving from God. He's going to judge you one day. And if you've not been forgiven, reconciled to him, that is, received the terms of peace through his Son, Jesus Christ, well, then you're going to be in serious bother then, in serious bother now, but even more so then, lest, that is, you repent and believe the gospel. So, copy of God's word is offered to you here this afternoon. You're simply only for the taking. God's written word is the only place where you find God's word in all the world. An extract from the Bible, you're simply for the taking. Read, study, meditate, muse upon the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and see the great things that he has done in order that a sinner like you might be saved, forgiven, and one day go to heaven. If you'd like a copy of God's word, or you come and ask for one. Gladly.
I'm doing good. Okay, I'm a born again Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Is it love?
Yeah. Yep.
Shalom.
He's
right.
Oh, yeah.
Bless you, man.
God bless you, sir.
You're brave.
No, no, yeah. I'm not.
The crowd's in heaven anyway.
Pray for me.
Pray for me. I will.
Yep. God bless you.
Name?
Jimmy.
I'm
crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're on. Are you online?
Yeah, I am, mate. Yeah.
My website's on the right there.
Oh, bless you, mate. Yeah. Of course I'll pray for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. God bless you.
You get crowns and everything. Well, in the end,
I'll settle for sinners getting saved in Button today.
Amen. You bring that, mate. I see, dear.
Amen. God bless you,
brother. God bless you, mate.
God bless.
I hope we meet again.
Yes.
If not,
up in glory, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God bless you. So there you go, friends. There's two of us. Not just of my own. And then, of course, I never am alone, that is. God is with me. And if God be for you, well, who can be against you? The word of God says. So like I say, you like a copy of God's word, it's offered to you freely. Read, muse, meditate upon the person of the Son of God. See his loveliness. See, will you, the love, the life, and the joy that can be yours through faith, that is, in his name. His admonition to you this afternoon is, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the way, that's the road by which you enter into God's kingdom. Of course, you have to do it now in this world in time, because when you get to the end, when you breathe your last and go out of this world, well, it's too late then. Then comes the judgment. More of that later. Anyway, God's word for you here today, taken from the book of Psalms, the Old Testament, the Bible. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. The creature's duty, it's what you were made for. It's what you were given life and breath for. It's what you're doing in this, on this planet. Maybe that question, you know, has been posed to your mind, you know, in days past. Maybe you've pondered that, you know, in a more lucid, you know, quieter moment. You thought to yourself, what am I doing here? You know, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of my life? Well, the Bible, God, you see in the Bible, answers those questions for you. He says, He says that in him you have life and being. You know, you can't breathe without God. You can't have a meaningful thought without him. You can't have anything without him. See, he made you not for your glory, not for your selfish ends, and most certainly not for your sinful end. He made you, gave you life and being to glorify, to praise and glorify him. And you're not doing that, well, you're sinning against God. So for that alone, God will bring you to judgment. That's without all the rest. It's a creature's duty, you see, to praise, to worship, to glorify God. It's what you are made for, to glorify him and to enjoy him, to walk in the fear of God. But of course, the natural born sinner, you can't do that. Of course, oh, make no mistake about it, not talking about religion or being religious. That's something you do yourself. You know, it's God, he has to do something in you and for you in order to bring you to that place where you can truly worship God in spirit and truth. Jesus Christ said, those the Father, God the Father, is seeking for. Those who will worship him, those who will praise him, those who will glorify him and enjoy him forever. But of course, in order to worship God in spirit and in truth, you have to be born of God's Spirit. Because here's the problem, you know, the baseline, if you like, you know. You were conceived, you know, in your mother's womb, you know, that moment when you were hatched, you know, in your mother's womb, that's when you became a human being, and that's when you became a sinner, a wicked sinner. And then 9 months later, you were born. You're born in sin, shaped and formed, ready for your iniquities, ready for your lawless life and being. Not glorifying God, not praising him, not enjoying him, not even knowing him. Cut off, alienated from God, even from birth. The Bible says you go astray. Sinners go astray. Walking their own pathway, not glorifying God. You know, all of sin, says the Bible, all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. Not that you haven't reached, not that you haven't hit the target. No, you set up your own target. Yeah? You make gods of your own imagination, even yourself, you know. And you know, you set moral standards, or rather immoral standards, for yourself. It's not that you haven't reached the target. You set up another target, contrary to God's target. Well, you see, what is God's target? Well, you got to go to the law. You got to go to Mr. Moses for that. The Ten Commandments. That's the standard. That's the target that God has set for you. And you don't come anywhere near it. You haven't even tried. You haven't even got the desire or the will to go for God's target. You just live to please yourself. You just live to sin. Bible says, you know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But here's the problem. This is the problem, that men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. You see, we've all of us. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Because, you see, you come into the world, you come out of mummy's tummy, you come out of the womb already formed and shapen in iniquity, in sinfulness, in rebellion against your Maker. So lest somebody, and somebody more important than you, changes that nature of yours, well, you just continue to live for self, you know. You take all the good things God's given you, all the good gifts he's given you, intellect and skills and all the rest of it, and what do you use them for? God's glory? No, you use them in the service of sin for your own selfish, sinful pleasure. Living in God's world, eating his food, drinking his water, enjoying all the good things that God gives you, you know, ignoring God, even defiantly, stubbornly, willfully, evilly, wickedly, even denying his very existence. Thinking, of course, foolishly, thinking that that will justify you. You know? You say there is no God, and you think that gets you off the hook. No, it doesn't. That's utter folly. That's foolishness to the uttermost. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Foolish why? Not intellectually. Not that you haven't got marbles in your head. Still got some of them. But you don't use them in the right way. You don't use them to glorify God, to praise God. You use them for the very opposite. You use them to your own selfish and sinful end. And so God will bring you to justice for that. And not only that, of course, out of those sinful natures of yours all comes all kinds of other sins. Denial of God, denial of what's obvious to you. And of course you know, you see, you've got a conscience within you, and your conscience testifies and agrees with me here this afternoon, not only that there is a God, but that you are a morally accountable creature. Your conscience pricks you, stabs you when you do wrong.
Well, that's
if it's still working, that is. That's those of you who have still got a conscience that's operating. Yeah? But you know, you're a morally accountable creature. You know, you understand, you have that innate knowledge within you. One, that God is, and two, that one day, somehow you don't know quite how, but someday you're going to have to give account for all you're doing. And that's right, you are. So your conscience, you see, is God's agent, and God's agent outside, bringing the information, the knowledge of God to you. But you have God's agent inside you, in your conscience, stabbing you, madam, and that will damn you one day, will condemn you to everlasting hell if you do not repent, madam, of your wicked, evil heart of unbelief. So you see, you know, you have the knowledge within you that you are a morally accountable creature. And the one to whom you'll give account to, well, the God who made you and gave you your being, and the God who one day will judge you in perfect righteousness by his Son Jesus Christ. That day, the Bible says, has been appointed. And that day is very close at hand, I tell you. I look at the world, and I look at the Bible, and I bring the two together, and I can see, I can discern, because I have spiritual discernment, you see. And I can see that we are living now in the last of the last days, that the coming of the Son of Man is very, very close. He's coming on the clouds of heaven. The judge is before the door, even now, as I speak to you. And soon, my friends, that door will be opened, and you'll be ushered into the presence of Almighty God. Maybe, perhaps, you'll snuff it first. Maybe you'll cock your toes up first and go out of this world. 'Tis appointed unto man once to die. After that, well, then, you see, in your godlessness, you say, well, that's the end of it then. No, after that then comes the judgment, and you stand before God and you give account. Jesus says you give account for every idle word that you've spoken, and you give account even for this day when you heard the gospel declared amongst you, in order that you might be saved, delivered from the present wrath of God that's upon you, because you don't even fulfill your creature duty, that is, to praise and to worship God. That's what you are made for, you see. And whatever you achieve in this life, in this world, however high you might climb, you know, whatever success, however much money, how big a house you've got, it's all nothing. It's all vanity. Vanity, vanity. Emptiness, emptiness, says the preacher. It's all sheer vanity, because you're taking nothing with you. You won't even take the mobile phone with you. You go out the world the same way that you come in, stark naked, with nothing to stand before your Maker and give account on that day. So, my friends, you see, I'm here to tell you how you can put that right, or rather how God can put that right for you. Because God, you see, has provided the means. In his love, in the immensity of his love, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, and that, my friends, to die on a cross, rise again from the dead, to pay the penalty, take the punishment, take the curse, take the wrath, take that which is due to a sinner like you, take it off your shoulders, liberate you, set you free, save you from God, whose wrath is all over you like a rash. For the wrath of God, you see, says the Bible, says God, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness, the wickedness, the evil hearts of unbelief of men who hold down the truth of the knowledge of God in wickedness, in unrighteousness. My friend, you are, I have to tell you, without Christ, I have to tell you, you're in a damn worthy state and condition. And soon, my friends, if you do not repent and believe the gospel, my gospel, God's gospel, his holy gospel, that if you do not believe it in him and Jesus, well, you will be damned fully and finally. You see, you owe a duty to God, a duty that you've not performed. And so there's a debt, you see, and the debt is mounting up day by day. The longer you live, the worse it gets. Because you see, my friends, you're storing up wrath for the day of God's wrath. The day when God will fall upon you fully and finally in his unmitigated wrath and displeasure. So how does a person escape the wrath to come? How does a person get out from under the judgment of God? Well, it's here before you. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. But whoever does not believe in Jesus is already condemned. Already under the condemnation of God. You've got 10 commandments pointing the finger in your direction, condemning you because you've broken every one of them. And then you've got a sinful nature, the back of that, which causes you, or rather disables you, from keeping those commandments. Hating God and hating your neighbor. Doing the very opposite for which you were made, given your being. You were made, you see, to praise God. You were made to worship him. You were made to give glory to him. You were made to live, to glorify and enjoy God. But of course you can't do that with somebody that you don't know. Man's greatest need, I declare to you here in Burton this afternoon, is to know your Maker. But of course that's the reason for which God has given you his word, the Bible, that you might know him. But first of all, know yourself, what it is that you are, the rock from which you've been hewn, Adam's nature in you, a sinful nature, no longer the image of God, no longer like God, no longer holy, no longer clean, no longer pure, no longer acceptable to God, alienated from God by your iniquities, by your lawless living. One way, my friends, back from that. One way, I tell you, into the favor of God, and that's by the grace of God, the free grace of God, presented to you and set before you in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, and him crucified and risen, that through him, my friend, through faith, that is, a real, a true, a God-given faith, that you might behold, that you might lay hold upon Jesus Christ, trusting, confiding in him, and him alone, apart from any doings of yours, simply and only casting yourself upon the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Pleading God's mercy that you as a creature who have failed, dreamed up religions, dreamed up 9,900 religions in your world today and not a ha'porth of salvation in any one of them. Only in the gospel, only in Jesus Christ, only in the Son of God is salvation to be found. None other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only through Jesus Christ, who declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only one way of escape, only one way out. And the Bible puts the question to you, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Answer, logical, not answered in the Bible, because the answer is logical. You will not escape if you neglect, or even if you reject, this great salvation that God Himself, in the immensity of His love, has provided for sinners, criminals against God, creatures who have not fulfilled their duty, who have not done what they ought to have done. God, my friends, for that will bring you to judgment, unless that is Jesus Christ, by His dying on the cross, has taken your judgment for you, bearing the penalty in your place as a substitute. God punishing His Son cannot punish sin twice. If He punishes your sin in Jesus, well, then you're home free. But if you do not believe, well, the weight of God's wrath, I tell you, falls upon you yourself. Every last ounce of it. So you must go to Jesus Christ. Not religion, not a church, well, not in Button and Trent anyway. You must go to Jesus. You must go to the Son of God. He alone can set you free. He alone can bring salvation to you. But that's what He came for. As the Bible says, Christ Jesus came into the world. What for? To save sinners. Sinners like you, Button and Trent, that you might be forgiven and one day, oh, one day go to heaven. Because of the Creator's mercy, for His merciful kindness is great towards us. The great mercy of God. Mercy and kindness, not like your mercy. As if, you know, you show mercy if you don't get something back for it. You show kindness to somebody, you know. If you get a pat on the head for it, you know, or, you know, you get some reward for it. But God, you see, quite freely, merciful, kind, that's His nature, that's what God is like, you see. Yes, He's angry with the wicked every day. Why? Well, He's angry with the wicked every day because He hates sin. He hates unrighteousness. He hates wickedness. He hates men and women, creatures, who have not fulfilled their duty, who do not praise and worship Him. So He's angry with them every day, but in His mercy, in His kindness, He has done something about His own anger to take it away. He's given you an out. He's given you an escape route. Sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world in His merciful kindness to bear the punishment, to take the crimes upon Himself in order, that is, that you might not say so. God so loved the world that He gave. He's a giving God and He's a forgiving God. Forgiving, my friends. Forgiving sin and iniquity. Lawless deeds, lawless living. Mercy, mercy with God. Forgiveness with God that He may be feared. So that you may be enabled, knowing the forgiveness of God, that you may be able to walk in the fear of God and glorify Him and praise Him. But God, in the greatness of His mercy, not because of any pressure, not because of any God has no duty towards you, a vile sinner, lost, raw, ruined, undone by your sin, by your own selves. God is under no pressure to do anything for anybody that He has created. No, simply and only out of the immensity of His love, the greatness of His love, and the freeness of His love, and the freeness of His mercy, and His kindness. And here's the thing, you don't even have to be religious for it. Yeah? You don't have to do penances for it. You don't have to do the five pillars of Islam You don't have to do the 12 stations of the cross. You don't have to become a jihadist, you know. You don't have to go to church for it. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't even have to pay for it. It's utterly and absolutely the free grace, mercy, and kindness of God. Out of the kindness of His heart, His divine heart, He has provided the means by which a wicked sinner, evil-hearted, unbelieving sinner like you could be reconciled to Him, know His mercy, know His kindness, and know His favor. But the mercy of God, you see, is operative. It's not like yours or mine. It actually does something for sinners. In His mercy, you see, He delivers sinners. He delivers them from, well, all the wickedness that they've got involved in, you know? The drugs, the alcohol, the filthy immorality, the uncleanness, the fornicating, you know? All the illegitimate children, you know, that you produce as a result of your fornicating ways. All your immorality, all your indecency, all your disgusting habits, all the drug addiction and what comes with it, and the alcohol abuse too. He does something, you see, in the greatness of His mercy, He does something to deliver sinners, undeserving sinners, rebels, God-haters. He actually does something to retrieve them from those wicked, evil habits that they've adopted in their sinful course in this world. So you see, my friends, the answer to your troubles, distresses, the answer to your addictions, the answer to your sins is not the government, not the nanny state, not the handouts that they give you. The answer lies in seeing, knowing, understanding your need of God. The God of the Bible, I mean. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who in love sent His Son into the world to die on a cross and to shed His blood on that cross. Because you see, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The power to retrieve you, power to wash you and make you clean, to remove the stain of sin from you and make you whole again. What will wash away my stain, says the hymn writer. He answers, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again, he says. He answers, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other commodity, something the government can't do for you, United Nations can't do for you, all the king's horses, all the king's men can't put you back together again. Your nanny state can only go so far. God is God that you need. As a nation, as families within the nation, as an individual within the nation, lost, broken, ruined, undone. And God in Jesus Christ is your only hope, is your only end. That's the mercy of God. That's the kindness, just sheer, unadulterated kindness. Kindness that you don't deserve. You have shown to God the very opposite, unkindness. You take His name and you blaspheme it. You take the name of His Son, you turn it into a curse word. You take all the good, everything that's good, wholesome, clean, and pure that God has revealed to you, even your sexuality, you take it and you turn it into something revolting and disgusting and filthy. God, in His kindness, gives you all these good gifts, and you, in your thorough, absolute unkindness, just throw it in His face. And one day He'll throw you into hell. One day He'll throw you into eternal damnation for doing so. That is, if you do not receive the kindness, the mercy of God set before you here this afternoon in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God, in His merciful kindness, sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world, that you might be delivered from such unkindness of spirit and heart as you have got. You're not even kind to one another. You hate one another, never mind God. Always killing one another, abusing, violating one another, men raping women. Always violating one another because you hate one another. You're not even kind to one another. I mean, why should God be kind to the like of you? I mean, it's a surprise. The judgment of God's not a surprise to me. I wonder why he doesn't take you all and cast you into hell now. Because that's what you deserve. That's your just desert. But God, you see, God's not like you. He's not like me, thankfully. Thankfully. No, he's merciful. He's kind. And in his merciful kindness, he has done something by which you might be saved, you might be delivered from your sin, from your unkindness, from your unmercifulness. Because you're unmerciful to it. Unmerciful to one another. You haven't got an ounce of mercy in you. Not one of you. You're broken, you're ruined, you're lost, you're undone. You've lost your way. You're on the pathway to destruction. Many, many, says Jesus, oh, there be that travel that pathway. The pathway to eternal destruction. You've got to get off of it, Button. And you've got to get off of it soon because you don't know. There's none of us do. You don't know the day when God will take you. You see, death, you see, it comes to all men. It's appointed unto man once to die. And you die, that is, when God takes you. Not when you choose to die. Not when you think you'll die. You die when God takes you. And he can take you at any given minute. Any God-given minute. He can take you out of this world in a nanosecond. And then you're before his judgment throne. Too late then. So there's urgency, you see. I'm pressing this upon you because, upon your minds, because, my friends, you must think about this. Eternity is coming. Death is inevitable. Judgment is inescapable. Eternity is coming fast. Hurling towards you. Soon you're going to be swept into it and into the presence of an angry God. Unless that is you've been reconciled to him as a result of his merciful kindness. That is, unless you have received his mercy, obtained his mercy, received his kindness. And how do you receive his mercy and kindness? Well, in his Son Jesus Christ, you receive Jesus. You see, he came to his own people, that is, but they did not receive him. But to them that did receive him, to those that believed on his name, he gave them the right, the power, that is, to become children of God. When you receive Jesus, when you believe in his name truly, then you see all the blessings of God are opened up to you. His mercy flows out to you and into you. His kindness to you. His forgiveness. His forgiveness of everything. All that you ever did. Blotted out. Remembered no more. Cast into the depths of the sea. Never, never to be retrieved again. For a short time, my friend. Short time is all you have. Maybe even only this day. Maybe perhaps this one. This will be the last occasion when Christ will be set before you. What will you do with him? With Jesus, who is called the Christ. And the merciful kindness of God sent his Son Jesus into the world to save a sinner like you, Burton. That you might repent, that you might turn before you burn. Turn, 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 says God. Why will ye die? When there's life, everlasting life, eternal life, to be had, to be found. Eternal mercy, kindness to be found, to be had in Jesus. Why will ye die? and life is set before you in Jesus Christ. Have him, and you have the mercy, and you have the kindness of God. All the truth of the Lord endureth forever. His truth, God's truth, is only one truth, my friend. And it's not in science, it's not in philosophy, it's in the Bible. That's the only place where you find truth. There is no truth outside of God's word, the Bible. God alone speaks truth. And his truth abides and stands forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall abide forever. The truth of God endureth forever. All the way to the end. And then the judgment comes. And God's truth will be vindicated. That which was spoken to you today was the truth. And God will vindicate it by judging you. Well, either judging you or commending you. One or the other. On the basis, of course, of what you have done or not done with his truth. If you receive God's truth, then you will be saved, you will be set free, and your judgment will be one of commendation. But if you reject God's truth, the only truth that there is in all your world, then your judgment will be one of condemnation. But whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, because he is the truth of God. He's the incarnate truth of God. The truth became incarnate.
Will you just shut up?
No, you shut up. You shut up. And wash your mouth out. Wash your mouth out. Filthy sinners, repent and believe the gospel. So like I say, friends, the truth, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. It's reception of the truth. Truth will make you free, says Jesus. Truth about God, the truth about yourself, truth about your sin, your wickedness, your evil hearts of unbelief, the truth. Set you free, my friends. Set you free forever. Justify you, Jesus. He's the one who justifies sinners. He's the way, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way back to God. He's the truth that makes you free. And he's the truth that endures forever, because he's the everlasting, eternal Son of God. Died on that cross, but rose again from the dead. Alive and alive forevermore. Endures forever. Truth of God will never go away. And if you don't receive it, if you don't believe it, well, my friends, in hell, in the damnation of hell, the truth will torment you day and night for all eternity. Smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever. That's the end of your sin. That's the end of your unbelief. That's the end of your believing the lie and living out of the lie. Because that's what you do. That's what you do when you don't believe the truth that God has revealed to you, sets before you, even here today, in order that you might be saved, in order that you might be delivered, in order that the shackles, the bondage, might be broken, and you liberated a child, a son of God. But rest assured, my friends, truth is to be found only in one place, God's word, the Bible. He alone speaks the truth. All men, he says, are liars. And so therefore not to be trusted. Not to be trusted, only God's word. Only God's word can you trust. Endures forever. Forever, he says. And that truth one day is a measure by which you will be judged in that day. Not your lies. Not the lies of Darwin and Dawkins. Not the lies of your false religions. Not the lies of your unbelieving hearts. You'll be judged in that day according to God's truth. And the truth that's spoken to you today makes you double damnable. Because you've heard the truth, you reject the truth, and that makes your state, that makes your judgment even double worse, my friend, in that day. When God judges you for your sins, for your iniquities, for your lawless deeds, for your evil hearts of unbelief. So today, if you hear his voice, you hear the voice of truth, my friend, calling out to you in the marketplace. The voice of truth calls you, my friends. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You come to me, you get right with God, you get reconciled, you get the merciful kindness of God, and you become that which you should have been all your days, a worshiper, a praiser of God, reconciled and brought to that place of usefulness. Yeah? Fit for living, fit for life, fit for God, and fit for heaven one day. But only through belief of the truth, only by embracing, receiving the truth that is of God's word, the engrafted word that is able, I tell you, to save your soul. The Son of God, the incarnate truth, the ability to save to the uttermost of your wickedness, of your evil hearts. The ability to save to the uttermost. All those that come to God by him, because you can come to God by no other way and no other name. Not the name of Muhammad, not the name of the Pope, not the name of the Watchtower Society. One name, and one name only. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, mighty Son of God, who lived and loved and died, rose again from the dead, in order that you, before his cross, before the Son of God, weeping, howling, crying, lamenting, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Deliver me. Save me. Who knows? Maybe. Maybe he will hear your cry. Maybe he will come to you. Maybe he will rescue you. Maybe he'll deliver you, save you. Call upon his name, the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved. Salvation. That's what the Word of God, that's what the Bible's about, my friends. Not religion. Life, love, life, and lasting joy. Found, Lord Jesus, in thee and in thee alone, no other. It's to him that you must go, not me. It's to him and no other that you must go. The only appointed Savior, the only mediator between God and man, there is no other. Who can reconcile you to God? Only Jesus. He loved sinners and he gave himself for them that you might become what you should always have been, a worshiper of God in spirit and in truth, giving praise and glory and honor to God through Jesus Christ, his Son, and made fit for heaven one day when you breathe your last and go out of this world. Fearless, why? Because somebody else has taken your punishment. Because somebody else has taken your penalty. Through believing, trusting in Jesus, the one who died for sinners, gave himself a ransom for many. Did he give himself a ransom for you, Burton? Was that for you that he died? All you alone will know the answer to that question. I bid you come to him as he himself does. On the authority of his word, you may come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. I'll give you rest, he says. Come, on the authority of his divine word. On the authority of the truth, as it is in Jesus. Come, I'll give you rest for your soul. So Jesus tells you, bids you today, Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand, that's why. And the only way you can enter God's kingdom is in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God. No other way. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Barton. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. It's offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply only for the taking. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Burton. May God bless you. And have mercy upon your never dying soul.